Welcome back to Coaching Through the Bible. This week, Pharaoh on stubbornness. There are a lot of things that we can learn from the different characters in the Bible. And typically speaking, we spend most of our time learning the lessons from our heroes in the book of Genesis, you know, the forefathers, patriarchs and matriarchs. And we focus in on the good that they've done or the mistakes that they've made, the personality traits that they bring to the table. And we spent a lot of time on those different kinds of things. We don't always spend a lot of time looking at the villains, let's say, the people who are in those stories as the bad guy, quote unquote, and learn from them. But they're super interesting. As I mentioned once before, I did a series about anonymous people in the Bible. I'd also done a series actually on villains, all the really bad people in the Bible, and sort of looking at what those people teach us, the biggest, baddest villains that there might be, and the different things that they teach us as well. And Pharaoh is one of them. And so I wanted to just spend a moment, and today is short, coaching through the Bible, on Pharaoh, specifically on the idea of the hardening of his heart. What is that exactly? What does that mean? How does it sort of relay to us in terms of our lives day to day? And so for the most part, people often explain and translate the idea of Pharaoh's hardened heart, some sort of, let's call it stubbornness. Not the good stubbornness. I do believe that there is a difference between good stubborn and bad stubborn. We'll explain in just a couple of moments. So Pharaoh's stubbornness is incredibly powerful, incredibly detrimental, and dangerous. So let's look at stubbornness for just a moment. Why is it that people are stubborn? Why does that happen to people? Why are people excessively stubborn, almost to what we might call obstinate, in their behavior, to the point of destruction? And so fundamentally what's going on with a person who is stubborn isn't just the notion that there's a deep level of arrogance there, because that's clearly the case in a lot of people who are exceptionally stubborn, but that sort of sense of, let's call it arrogance, quote unquote, comes from a sense that they're always right, and that they are going to be proven right at some point, and nothing at all will be able to be said or shown that can actually prove them wrong. And in fact, the idea that truth or correctness will come from another person and not from their own mind and their own intellect, their own reasoning and their own thinking, is almost impossible for the stubborn person to accept. So fundamentally what's going on with respect to stubbornness, it goes very much to the core of who we are as human beings. Either it's a question of a person being stubborn because they seek reward. So you see the case with many children, they're going to stand there until they get what they want. The sort of stubbornness, they're going to put that pouty face on until they get what it is, what they want from their parents. That kind of stubbornness. So there's a seek reward mentality. And on the other side of that, there's the avoid pain mentality, that someone will stick to a set of beliefs or stick to a position or stick to a location or a behavior or a habit because they seek to avoid pain. As opposed to seeking reward, they're seeking to avoid pain. So it's similar to what we discussed last week when we talked about imposterism, the idea that the person is looking to soothe themselves. So psychologically speaking, stubbornness can be rooted in the notion of a person seeking to soothe their life and their circumstance by avoiding any sort of change or required difference in their behavior or their openness to their opinion. Of course, as well, stubbornness can be born of hostility. They simply don't like you, or they don't like the people that are surrounding them, and therefore nothing will get them to move because of a personal relationship issue between them and their counterpart, or the protagonist, for lack of a better term, in those situations. All those things are true about Pharaoh. There's no way that Pharaoh is going to allow some gentleman by the name of Moses to walk into his court and treat him the way he's going to treat him. There's no way that a Pharaoh is going to allow the God of the Hebrews to come into the situation and rule the day when he is the most powerful person in the world, Pharaoh. Certainly, there's a hostility that is built there, that grows there by virtue of the ongoing in and out, week to week, month to month sort of embarrassment, let's call it, that goes on between Moses, Aaron, and the God of the Hebrews and the God of Israel and Pharaoh through the different plagues. But it goes even further. Pharaoh's obstinance, his stubbornness, the bad kind of stubbornness, is to the point of destruction. The people see it. Even Pharaoh sees it. He's unable to change. So some might call it unwilling to change, but some might say that he's simply unable to change. And that's sort of a little bit related to the idea that God is hardening his heart. God is forcing him to be obstinate in that way, to be stubborn in that way, to show off all of the different powers, to teach the lessons that need to be taught. Requires an individual or some force that is resistant, which is where stubbornness lies. At the same time that there's all that negative stubbornness, there's also, happens to be, on the other side of that, a good stubbornness. We often might call that resilience or, toughness to some degree, and unwilling to back down from a challenge, a willingness to push through and to go further. And we look at that as a good stubbornness. In fact, in Judaism, there is an idea of that kind of stubbornness, and it's related to being stubborn in this, for the sake of heaven. Let's call it that. You might call it, as a lot of people do call it, a sense of chutzpah. That term here, related to the idea of having the sort of the audacity. For lack of a better term, the audacity to do holy things and to bring goodness into the world. It requires some sort of steadfastness, even an obstinance in the face of difficulty, stubbornness in the face of difficulty for the sake of doing something greater. So there can be moments of stubbornness that exist in a person that are actually good. It's a question of simply weighing the good versus the bad. And working with a person who perhaps shows consistent and regular stubborn behavior, not so much that they're not right, but perhaps more often that they need to learn how to be open and to work with a person to learn how to be open to other opinions. We mentioned once earlier on in Coaching Through the Bible that we learn more by when we listen than when we speak. And that is the case often as well with stubborn people. Is trying to get through to a stubborn person is exceptionally difficult. But ultimately, what's the most important thing isn't so much about being right, it's about being able to grow and to do better and to do more and to accomplish more. And so there is in that space to work with a person who is stubborn to begin to see what's working, what's not working, to try to work towards an honest, open conversation. There's that word open again. To get to a space and a location where the stubborn person is able to weigh what's the greatest benefit for them. A continued obstinance, bordering on a level of almost arrogance and hubris, excessive pride, to the point of an inability to hear, to listen, to learn, to help. To succeed, that's where that goes. And when we sort of bring a person to that place, into that situation, in that location, and have that conversation and to work on that through exercises and time, we're able to get a person who is, generally speaking, in a stubborn mentality, in a stubborn way, like Pharaoh, or not Pharaoh. To be able to improve and to become a far better and more productive and more successful person. So, what comes out of the idea of Pharaoh and the hardening of his heart is this sense, on some level, on one level, this idea of stubbornness and obstinance and difficulty, and at the same time, the opportunity to be open-ended and open-minded and given to the chance that someone can teach us and that we can ultimately become a better person. Have a great weekend. Look forward to seeing you next week in Coaching Through the Bible. Take care.